Bears Hooligan Podcast live and coming at you for week 18. Bears versus Vikings. Bears lose. And Lovie Smith and his beard pull out the victory and Texans win. Bears get the fucking number one pick in the draft. Texans just won a few minutes ago and I am hyped up, baby. This tank for this season played out to perfection and Poles has got the number one pick. That's all that matters. I don't care about anything that happened in this stupid Bears game. Fields didn't play. They lost. They lost pretty soundly. Great. Perfect. That's what we wanted. And Texans pull it out like in the last minute with a two-point conversion. Insane. I thought they were winning a good portion of the game. Colts came back. I thought it was done. And the Texans pull it out to give the Bears the number one pick. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I thought for sure as the season started, I called it. I'm in a group text with a bunch of dudes from my fantasy league who are all calling bullshit. I called them before the season started at my draft and on social media all over the place. 3-14 for the Bears. Top five pick. Got called an idiot by almost everybody. I knew Poles was tanking with the free agency he had signed. There was no way he was going into this season trying to win. It wasn't happening. I don't care what Eberflus had to say about hits. The Bears were not trying to win this season with the guys they picked up and the guys they traded away. And I knew that they would trade away Quinn in season. I knew that was the goal. They had hoped he would have more sacks so they could get more for him. I did not know they would trade away Roquan. I did not think that would happen. But never called that, but did call Quinn being traded in season, and it all played out. They were 3-14, as I called. I didn't think they'd have the number one pick at 3-14. I thought they'd be somewhere between, 2-4, somewhere in there. So, I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, at this point, all that matters is that Poles gets his act together and plays this offseason to perfection. If this man can do his job soundly and with skill, the Bears can be competitive this coming year. But 2024, baby, they better be shooting for that Super Bowl. All the cap money they have the number one pick now. I am hoping that they are trading that back and hopefully staying in that top five range, but just getting a nice haul of picks for this season. And, whatever, maybe a 2024 pick or two. He's picking with perfection, getting skilled starters, and they're coming to play, man. Next year I think it's going to be exciting. Next year they'd have a shot to compete at the division if he does it right, at least be close to 500, somewhere in that range, and see that Fields progression. Hopefully somehow he scores a number one wide receiver. They need that, shores up the offensive line. Defense has a lot of needs, D-line, cornerback, edge. They need guys all over the place on the D. Yeah, there's a lot. The Bears have a lot of needs. In no way, in any way, is this team just a couple steps away. I realize that. But, if Fields can take that next step this year, they fill some gaps, they can still compete, man. They were within a score on a ton of games this year with this horrible team because of what Fields was doing out there. He takes that next step with his passing next year. Forget about it, man. They're going to be competing. I don't care if they are behind a few teams talent-wise. If Fields can throw the ball with a little more precision this coming year and still use his feet like he's doing, they are in it. They have a shot at the division. Not saying by any means do I think they can win the Super Bowl next year. I'm not that much of an idiot. But they have a potential to compete next year. Potential. But 2024 is the year that they should be competing for the Super Bowl. He has the next two off seasons to get this roster where it needs to go. He now has all the ammo available to him. He has the number one pick. He has everything. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Exciting end to the season. Great last game. I love this loss. I love the Texans win. It is fantastic. Unfortunately, I'm out of fantasy football, but doesn't matter. I didn't win anything. I know of a lot of guys that did get fucked in the ass by that DeMar situation. I mean, I know everybody, thoughts and prayers, you know, whatever. Yeah, I watched it live. I had a friend over, watched it live. Scotty came over to watch it because he was competing for a fantasy championship. So we came over, turned it on, saw it live. Crazy situation. I think they should have played the game. The dude's fine now. The dude's in the hospital tweeting everyone. So the thoughts and prayers and the for DeMar, da-da-da-da-da, that shit can end. It's over the top now. The guy's coming out of it. He's in the hospital tweeting at everyone, talking up, loving it. He's loving all the attention. You know, it's great that he's going to make it, that he's fine. He's not dead. I get initially people were scared, but it's football, man. There's been a million guys taken off the field who can't move their digits. Those games went on. The game should have went on. It fucked up the playoffs. And I know this doesn't matter to anyone in the world, but it has screwed up a million fantasy leagues. I know a guy or two who are out thousands of dollars due to, you know, how this situation turned out because they got screwed because of players they had playing that week and however they end up having to score it and all this shit. So it's a cluster. I mean, the game goes on. I think even if somebody dies in the field, the game goes on. I mean, this is football. This isn't for the weak-hearted. This isn't for the soft. I think a lot of the people that are turning this into a huge thing and trying to make this an issue going forward. I mean, there's all these people who are taking this articles by like the Washington Post, all these other obnoxious woke newspapers and websites trying to turn this into a thing like anti-football, like stopping football. Like, oh, are fans going to continue with the violent sport of football? Yeah, people love violence. It's sad that this guy's got a weak heart and he got hit in the chest and whatever happened to him. A crazy situation, like one in a million probably. But that's football. There's been a million guys dragged off the field, taken away. It happens. Have we seen CPR? No, it was crazy. But still, get your head right and get back out there and play. That's what you're paid for. It's your job. You know, people go to work every day where like a family member or something happens or a coworker. You know, there's people whose coworkers die on the way to work. They get a notification. They go to work and work out the day. And shit happens. This is a violent sport where you expect injuries. Do you expect them that crazy or that bad? No, you don't. And I get it. And I'm not trying to not have some compassion here. But again, that's the game they play. That's why they get paid the big fucking bucks. It's a game where injuries happen. People are often injured and unable to play for the rest of their lives. Some of them not able to walk for the rest of their lives. You know, neurological issues. People are living to, players are living to like their late 40s to 50s and dying because of brain injuries they suffered. So yeah, you walk into it knowing, hey man, I'm taking a chance with my life walking on this field, but oh, I'm getting paid pretty goddamn handsomely for it. So most people would take that gamble. Whatever. Just saying, I get it, but you know, this like every team this week did something before the game for him. He's in the hospital tweeting as of game time. He's all right. He's fully got all his brain function. He's got everything. Is he going to play this season? No, he's not, because he got injured. But he'll be back next season. So let's settle it down. Let's get back to football. Let's quit being whiny babies and worrying about, oh, somebody's going to get hurt. I'm worried that this is going to turn into a whole thing where somebody does have another major injury like have happened in the past. You know, somebody takes a neck or spine injury, whatever. They have to be carted off. And now the players are like, well, I don't want to play anymore today. I want to take my ball and go home like they did for DeMar. I don't want to play. I just don't have it anymore. And shit like that's going to happen because that's the kind of world we're in these days where everybody's turning woke. Everybody's got a virtue signal. Everybody on the planet had to say hearts out, thoughts and prayers for DeMar. Did those thoughts and prayers really do anything? Was he walking the next day? Like, I mean, it is what it is. Again, if it was just some old lady walking down the street and a car hit her and she went to the hospital, different story. That's not expected. That's an accident. He's playing a football game where they're running full speed at each other. These are the top athletes in the world. And yeah, you're going to take some injuries, man. That's what happens. So whatever. Glad he's doing all right. Hopefully he's back on the field next season. Time to move on for everyone. Just time to move on. It's over. The guy's good. Time to move on. And so are the Bears. The Bears are good too because we got the number one pick. I just got to say, I know every week for the last how many weeks we've been saying this, but Ryan Poles, come on, man. Do your job. Do it well. Let's not be a Ryan Pace. Let's not make a stupid trade. Let's not pick up some bum, you know, like we did with Trubisky when we had a high pick. I just want great talent out of that number one pick, but what I'd really like is the trade back scenario where he stays high so he still gets a great player that's going to be an all-time great on this team for like a decade or more, and then also gets another first-round pick like next year in 2024, or second round or a third round or whatever the hell. I don't know how these things – I know you get a lot of shit. This is the first time the Bears have had the number one pick since like the 40s or something, never in my lifetime. So yeah, I'm just ready to see the magic happen. Obviously, this is the last pod of the season. Season's over. But I think plans for the future, definitely think I'm doing a season two next year, and definitely think I'm going to do some specials throughout the offseason. So keep a lookout. If you subscribe, you'll easily be able to see. I think you get a notice that there's a new pod available, because I'm going to do one, I think, when free agency opens up. Going to do a pod, one or two. We'll see, depending on how many Bears moves the Bears make, or lack of moves, if I have to talk shit. And then also post-draft, going to do one. And then maybe like right before camp or during camp, do one before the season starts with some predictions, things of that nature, based on whatever's went on. Because obviously I've got a touch of the Nostradamus gene with my 3-13 prediction this season. So I'm going to continue to make some great predictions. So everyone should listen in. Tell your friends. Get everybody hyped. Get everybody on the train for this coming season and off season, because this podcast is moving up, baby. We're doing nothing but moving up. We got thousands of followers. We're going to keep it up. Keep this train moving. Bear down. Go Bears. Go Poles. Let's make this shit happen in the off season and make 2023 season at least competitive. Let's put the Packers at the bottom of this damn division. Let's flip it up. Bears won. Maybe I'm my early 2023 season prediction. We're going to go Bears 1, Detroit 2, Vikings 3, Packers 4, sitting at the bottom where they belong, eating shit. Bear down. Let's go. If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana, man.